In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with this understanding of the divine will and life. And we're at volume 11, July 4th, 1912. So Jesus tells Louisa that he says, my divine will must be the tomb of the soul. Okay, so here is something that is, when we first hear this, it's strange. It's the language of heaven. So what is the tomb of the soul? Okay, so he says, just as nature is consumed in the tomb to the extent of disappearing completely, remember, man, that thou art dust, and dust thou shalt return. And by that consummation, it will rise again to a new or more beautiful life. Okay, so here, St. Paul says, our body now is like a seed that's going to be placed into the ground. And what's going to come out of that seed is a magnificent tree. The difference between the seed and the tree is just completely, it's a miracle. And this is what Jesus has planned for humanity. This body that we have has to die. This body has to become food for worms because of the fall of Adam. But Jesus promises us that there will be a glorified body. What scripture says is we are children of God. What we are going to become, we do not know. But what we do know is that we will become like him, like God, because we will see him as he is. So here, Jesus wants us to understand that the divine will is the tomb of the soul. Okay. Why? Because what's going to come from this body that's now our DNA says, get old, get gray-haired, become wrinkled, and become food for worms. Jesus says, wait till you see the beautiful body that I'm going to give you, a glorified body like Jesus's as he ascended into heaven, like Mary's as she was assumed into heaven. He says, in the same way, the soul buried in my divine will, as if inside a tomb, will die to the suffering, will die to human virtues, will die to her spiritual goods, and will rise again in everything to the divine life. Now, everything's going to change. We're going to experience global change. This has to happen. St. Thomas Aquinas says what happens supernaturally must happen naturally. So what we're going to experience in a very short period of time is a new beginning for humanity. And it's not just to be human, but to share in divinity. We're that drop of water put into the chalice filled with wine. That drop of water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. We're going to share in divinity, and we're not going to become gods. But the reason the Lord created Adam was so that Adam and his children could participate in divinity, to do what God does. And Jesus even says that you'll do far greater things than me. How can we do far greater things than God Almighty? It's by sharing in divinity. And he wants us, he has planned for us to be in his image and likeness. So for this past 6,000 years, basically, the evil one has ruled the world. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross, he conquered death. He took upon himself our death. He took upon himself all our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, and our sin. And he now says, I want, this is what he tells Louisa, I want my children to rise again. As he rose from the dead, as Jesus rose from the dead, he says, this is how I want my children to live. Dying to the human and embracing the divine. This is the thing that's so astonishing. All humanity knows is saintly things, good things, holy things. And for the last 2,000 years, the saints, our church, our holy church, Holy Mother Church, through our dogma and our doctrine, has been teaching us it's more than what humans understand at this point. We see things from a fallen state. And the church has always said, you know, what is most essential is God. And so what does Jesus do? He gives us the sacraments and the sacramentals. This is the medicine, he says, that will help us begin to live that new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied is coming. And you remember, John Paul II, he went all around the world to tell the people what, to tell the children what. He would say, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. And even the end of our millennium, last millennium, we had, what does he do? 1997, the year of Jesus. 1998, the year of the Holy Spirit. 1999, the year of the Father. That's the same pattern that Jesus gave to Louisa. 1 through 10 is of the Jesus, become a divine mirror of Jesus. 11 through 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. What John Paul II did was get us ready for this new and divine way of holiness. And so what does God do to help us get ready for this time? He gives us the Book of Heaven. And 1994, Archbishop Cassati opened the cause of Louisa. Everything was prepared before that by Archbishop Corrada with the Association Louisa Picaretta in 1986-87. And then in 1996, he gives permission to go to the Vatican to copy the writings of Louisa, all the writings. And what's really interesting is when we go back to the original writings of Louisa, we find things that were not really expressed correctly in what we have had until this point. And that's why when we read the original documents, the original writings of Louisa, we're overwhelmed by how much our God loves us. So Jesus is saying the whole reason for this Book of Heaven is to get us ready to what? To enter into this more beautiful life, this new and more beautiful life, to have our soul buried in the divine will as if inside a tomb, dying to everything, dying to our suffering, dying to our virtues, dying to our spiritual goods, to rise again in everything that is divine life. So we're going to experience a new beginning worldwide. This is the thing that people are going to be astonished at what's coming. It's going to be shocking to a lot of people because we have not really been taught how to live of the divine. So this new and divine way of holiness is coming. The how and the why this is going to happen is in our hands if we have the Book of Heaven. And when the illumination of conscience comes, that will be a time where to understand the Book of Heaven. Right now, we read it and my soul has to be buried. What is this? I mean, it sounds confusing, but when Jesus explains it, we begin to understand the language of heaven. Yes, our soul must die to all that is human and to embrace all that is divine, because that's the way the Lord made us. He breathed the Ruach of God, the breath of God, breathed into the dust. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. That's divine life. And when Adam sinned, we've been in this miserable condition. And even though we've been redeemed by Jesus, Our Lady was there on Calvary to bring us the kingdom of redemption for the last 2,000 years. Now Jesus says we're going to enter into the kingdom of sanctification, the kingdom of the third fiat, the kingdom of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven, the fulfillment of the Our Father. And then Jesus says to Louisa, "Ah, my daughter, Louisa." See, he says, Jesus says, out of all the children of the earth, Louisa is the one, the only one who wanted to surrender everything to God. I mean, we love the saints. I mean, we love the mystics. We see what they have gone through. When you look at John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, it's unbelievable. The love that they had for Jesus, to die to everything but this mystical life, doing the will of God completely. But now Jesus says, "I want to give more to my people." And so he says, "Louisa, it seems that you want to imitate the mundane. You who tend to what is temporal and the ends, while he says, they don't consider what is eternal." So Jesus is saying that the temporal is temporal. If you want the things of the world's going to go to the way, everything's going to go the way of the world, which is the consummation. That's why the first purification of the earth was the flood. The second purification of the earth was the blood of Jesus washing the world clean. Now, this third purification is fire from heaven. The world is going to be consumed in love. This is what is this? This is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the new Adam, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the new Eve. He says, people don't even consider the eternal. She says to Louisa, "Louisa, why don't you want to learn to live only in my motion? Don't you want to learn to live the life of heaven while still being on earth?" So here, again, this is volume 11. See, what's Jesus doing? In volume 11, he starts talking about living in the divine will. Volume 1 through volume 10 is how to do the will of God, how to become a saint, becoming a divine mirror of Jesus, the holy humanity, and Mary, the Blessed Mother, her holy humanity. But now Jesus says, "Now I want you to learn how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit." So Jesus is confronting Louisa was, yes, you want to be a saint. You want to be good. You want to be holy. You want to have these virtues. He says, "But why don't you want to learn to live only in my most holy divine will? Why don't you want to live a life of heaven while still being on earth?" So here, this is the book of heaven. Jesus is trying to help us take this leap. A lot of people tell me, Father, I love, you know, the writings of St. Teresa Lisieux. And this is the divine will. I'd say, no, it's not. St. Teresa was not taught how to live in the divine will. Jesus says to Louisa, "You're the first one that I'm teaching this to. My mother lived in it, being Theotokos, mother of God. I lived in it," Jesus said, "being the Son of God. But a human born of original sin, no saint ever possessed this. You, Louisa, possess it." So now he's teaching Louisa, and he's trying to teach us, why don't you want to live the life of heaven? That's why when you're praying your prevenient act in the morning, the last thing you should say, basically, it's, "I want to learn the life of the way to live the life of heaven. I want to want nothing of the earth. I want only heaven now." That jump is what Louisa did, if you want to say. From they say, you know, a leap in faith is you're standing on a cliff and you look down and it's a mile deep, and then there's a cloud 5 feet away, and jump over this to this cloud, and there's another ledge there, but you can't see it. And most people get to that point and say, "Sorry, I'm not going to jump, because I don't believe there's something there. You say it, there's, but I don't see it. Faith is believing in that which you can't see. That's why Jesus, when you look at all the healings in sacred scripture, when, especially the woman who was suffering for 18 years, hemorrhaging, and she touched his hem, Jesus turned around and said, "Who did this?" He knew who did it. He's the Son of God. He wasn't, "I don't know what's happening." He knew exactly what was happening. But in Leviticus, it says, the hem of the Messiah will heal you. And the hem is the tassel on the tillit, the prayer shawl. She grabbed the hem, the four corners of the prayer shawl that Jesus was wearing, saying, "I believe he's the Messiah and he will heal me." So Jesus turned around and said, "Who did this and why?" He wanted to hear her. You know, "Why did you touch my hem? Well, what's the reason? By accident, you know, hoping, or do you believe that I am the Messiah?" When she responded, basically, "I believe you're the Messiah," he says, "Your faith in me has healed you. Your faith has healed you." Jesus is expecting that of us. The divine will goes beyond what the saints have taught us. It's nothing new. It's the oldest gift that was ever given. It was the gift that was breathed into Adam. But what Jesus is asking of us is, do you believe me? Do you believe what I told Louisa? And if you do, can you make that leap? And that leap is, I really believe this is true. I mean, the beauty of the divine will is sharing in divinity. Now, nobody possesses that fully. Louisa possessed it. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn of the divine will. We get glimpses of it, and it's always a riot to hear somebody reading something for the first time, and they say, "This is it, volume 7, you know, right here. This is what the divine will is." And I go, "Well, that's volume 7. That's learning how to do the will of God." "Well, it's everything is right there." "Yes, for volume 7, yes, everything is there." Then they read volume 14. "Oh, here it is right here. This is everything." And yes, that's true. For volume 14, everything is building up to the point where you get to volume 35 and 36, right? With 35 and 36, Jesus allowed Father Bucci to have these two books as the first priest to read and to study and to put this into practice. And then he was so enamored by it that he gave it to Archbishop Carrata. And Archbishop Carrata then loaned it out to somebody, and those books haven't been seen since. But they're going to be seen, because Jesus tells us this, that when all the books are together and all the books are put on a table, and venerable people from around the world will be there, and they will be spiritualized and divinized. That's Jesus's words to Louisa, that St. Arnold de Francia put his Nihil Obstat on and Archbishop May put his imprimatur on it. What does this mean? Okay, St. Arnold de Francia, he read, he studied, he put this into practice. It became his life. So he says to us, why don't you want to live a life of heaven while still being on earth? And when we say, "Yes, Lord, I want that," he goes, "Good. I'll show you how to do this little by little, step by step. I'm not going to overwhelm you with this great outpouring, because that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to be for the whole world." Just like the first Pentecost, the apostles stayed with the Blessed Mother in the cenacle, waiting for this outpouring as Jesus asked them to. And then when the Holy Spirit came, they were changed. And that was the first Pentecost. The second Pentecost is going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket compared to what's coming. This new and divine way of holiness is coming. So he says to us, why don't you want to learn to live only of my most holy divine will? Why don't you want to live a life of heaven while still being on earth? And we say, "Yes, Lord." He says, "My divine will is love, the one that never dies. Therefore, my will must be your sepulcher. My divine will must be your love that is the lid which has to lock you and seal you in, giving you no more hope of living in your human will. No more hope of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. So Jesus is saying to us, when we make that choice, I want to have your divine will, which is love, a love that never dies. I want your divine will to be my sepulcher. I want the love of the divine will to be the lid that locks me in, seals me in, giving me no more hope of living a miserable human life. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. The life of heaven is peace, joy, and happiness. The life of heaven is, no matter what we have to face, it's fiat. So Jesus is testing us. He's constantly testing us. He wants to see if we can pass that test of wanting heaven more than that of earth. So Jesus says, then every thought that regards oneself, even about the virtues, is always gained for oneself and once it runs away from the divine life. So now he's talking about the saintly life. Every thought that one regards of yourself, even about the virtues that the saints possessed, the saints possessed a sliver of a virtue. It wasn't the totality of the virtue. It was just a part of the virtue because of their docility, because of their surrender, because of their submission to doing the will of God. But it is always a gain for yourself. And that runs away, and that runs away from the divine life of Jesus, of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. See, so the Lord is telling us, when you make this leap of faith to I want the divine will, it's going to be the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And it's just the beginning. No one possesses the fullness of it. That's to share in divinity. That's going to happen one day. But right now, Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach you as he says, to desire the divine will is to have me conceived in your heart. The desire. People say, well, I desire the divine will and I possess it. Jesus says you have to give birth to this life. How do you give birth to this life? It's to do your acts and your rounds in the divine will. So we have to learn how to do our acts in the divine will. We have to learn how to pray the rounds in the divine will. How do you pray the round of creation? How is that part of your life? It was the total life of Adam before the fall. It was the total life of Jesus, the new Adam, and Mary, the new Eve. It was the total life of Louisa. Her whole life was focusing on doing the round of creation, round of redemption. Do you know anything about the round? Oh yeah, I read the little book on it and it's very nice. But I pray my prayers like the saints do. God goes, good. He goes, that's what you want. That's what I'm going to give you. But when we make that bold jump to embrace the divine, you're not thinking about yourself anymore. Jesus tells Louisa, the divine will isn't about making you a saint. The divine will is to save humanity. What's the saving of humanity? That humans begin to live the life, true life of Jesus and Mary, the life that was breathed into the dust. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And now God wants us to return to that life, but even more than what was breathed into Adam. Because it's the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, the true life of Mary, the new Eve, that Adam didn't have. Now God is saying to us, every thought that regards yourself, even about the virtues, is always gained for yourself and runs away from the divine life. If the soul thinks only about me, Jesus says, and my mother, it's always Jesus and Mary. What regards to me and my mother, the soul takes the divine life in herself, taking the divine life, she escapes the human life, taking all the possible goods that what God wants to breathe into you, as much as you want or as little as you want, 30, 60, or 100 fold. So what Jesus is asking us, and this is why the Book of Heaven is so essential, to breathe in this Book of Heaven, is to begin to live a life that the saints dreamed of. They knew how to do the will of God through prayer, fasting, penance, mortification. What Jesus is now saying is, I want to give you more. So he teaches us about the cross and the marriage of the mystical marriage that he calls us to. He's our spouse. He's our king. He's our Lord. He's our savior. He's our master. He says, I'm proposing to you. Do you want to be with me for all eternity? And when we say yes, he goes, good, prove it. And that means entering into this life of heaven while on earth. That's the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. Jesus says, if you really want that divine life, that new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied is coming, and it's very close, you're going to see worldwide changes. I'm not kidding you. What's happening all over the world, Jesus tells Louisa, is to prepare prepare humanity for this new and divine way of holiness, this divine life. Taking the divine life, escaping the human life, taking all the possible goods that God wants to breathe into us, as much as you want or as little as you want. God wants to fill us to overflowing, he keeps on telling us through Louisa. Volume 11, March 24th, 1913. I am the contentment of contentments. I am. God is the contentment of contentments. The divine will is the miracle of miracles. The divine will is the prodigy of prodigies. Jesus keeps on saying, if you think this is good, wait till you see what the divine will is. The prodigy of prodigies, the apostle of apostolates, the mission of missions, the contentment of contentments. He's trying to convince us about this truth that is foreign to us. What's foreign to us is the life of Jesus and Mary. Yes, we love Jesus. We love the Blessed Mother. But he says, I want you to enter into this life that they brought to the earth, this universal life that Adam lost, this universal life that Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, have brought to the earth. And now the new and divine way of holiness, which is not new at all. It's the life, it's the true life of Jesus as the true life of Mary. So Jesus says, as I am, I love it when he uses his name, I am, as I am in you, and I feel some discontents. I, as God, recognize that they come from you. This is the fallen nature. Any discontent, people say to me, oh, my spouse, my neighbor, my boss, they make me so upset. And I said, well, you have to get over that. You have to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness in all situations. Well, no. They're doing this to me. And wait a minute. Jesus says, if I feel some discontents in your soul, I recognize, Jesus says, that they come from you. When we stand before God at the day of judgment, God is going to say, he's not going to say, what did they do? He's going to say, how did you live? Were you peaceful? Jesus says to Louisa, if you're not peaceful, I, as God, cannot be there. Are you happy? If you're not happy living a life of heaven, I can't be there. Look at the lives of the saints. Let's look at the lives of the saints that were imprisoned, under torture. They were singing to Jesus. Read Saint Andrew and his companions. Read how they crucified. They were singing songs of praise to God. It doesn't matter what they do. What matters is how we live. Jesus says, when I recognize that you're discontent, they're coming from you. Therefore, I, God, do not recognize myself completely in you. Why? Because discontents are part of the human nature, not of the divine. Jesus was always peaceful. joyful and happy. He says, I want to give you my joy so that your joy may be complete. This lady's the same way. She, at the crucifixion, in the great sorrow of her heart being pierced, broken, split in two, she was peaceful. How can you be peaceful? Jesus says, if I don't recognize peace in you, I don't recognize myself completely in you. If there are discontents in you, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, they're part of the human nature and do not belong to me, Jesus. Do not belong to the divine. And he says, while it is my divine will that what is human no longer exists in you. It is my divine will, he says, I want a life in you. I only want to see my divine life in you, Jesus says. So the test that we're going through, that Jesus is asking us to go through, is to let go of all worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And then therefore, God is testing us. How are you going to get through this situation? Is it fiat? Is it fiat in everything? So when the demon of worry comes at you and goes, oh, you got to worry about this, you go, no, I trust in Jesus. See, you're going to starve that demon of worry by not feeding him any more worry. You're not going to keep him alive in you anymore. You don't understand. I have to worry about this. I have to worry about that. No, you don't. Jesus is in charge. Do you trust him as your Lord? Do you trust him as your King? Do you trust him as your spouse? If we really trust in Jesus, there's nothing to worry about. Nothing. Jesus, I trust in you. He says to St. Faustina, the final devotion I give to my church before I return, that's what we're getting ready for, is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. He's going to put us through situations that are going to be frightening and difficult for most. We're going to get through it. How? Jesus, I trust in you. Even when the 3 days of darkness come, when death comes to the earth, when God says to the evil one, take what's yours and get out, my kingdom's coming, and death is on the earth, and everybody's going to seek it, we're not going to seek it. We're going to be, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, I believe in you. And this trust in Jesus, these 3 days of darkness that are coming, the whole world's going to participate in this. The illumination of conscience, the whole world is going to participate in this. It's going to be a new and divine way of holiness for us. As we get through this, when the 3 days of darkness are done, when you listen to Padre Pio, when the 3 days of darkness are done, it's heaven. The new heavens, the new earth is going to be here. So Jesus is saying, I want you to get ready for what's coming. And he says, it's only my divine will that's going to do this. Because it's my divine life that I want you to begin to live. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Volume 11, March 21st, 1913. Suppose that a thought came to you, which is not of me, Jesus says. You must destroy it. Suppose that a thought came to you, which was not for love of God. He says, you must destroy it and you must substitute it with the divine. So right now we're being manipulated by mainstream media. We're being manipulated by television. I mean, we're programmed. We're manipulated by the movies. Even Sesame Street, how you can be happy without Jesus Christ. There's no happiness without Jesus. Well, it doesn't say that. Yes, it does. Here's how you can be happy. Turn your life over to the cookie monster. What's the monster? It's the evil. Turn your life over to the Count Dracula, the Count. It's the devil. I mean, it's teaching the children, surrender to the bad and everything will be good for you. And that's programmed after program after program daily. It wasn't the catechism. And when we say, well, we don't know where the children are, it's very clear where the children are. They've been programmed not to be happy with Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our God. He's our spouse. So Jesus says, suppose a thought came to you which was not of God. You must destroy it. You must substitute it with the divine. So here he's teaching us, what is the divine? What is the divine? It's our life has been created to praise God and to love God and to glorify God and to worship God. That's our life. What does St. Thomas Aquinas said? If the veil was lifted, if we could really see where we truly are, we would see that we, without time or space, are in heaven in the glorified body. What are we doing in heaven? Praising God. He's so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect. He's so loving that when we see God, we're just going to fall on our faces adoring him. There's nothing else we can do, but he's so beautiful. And so God is asking us to begin to live this life of heaven, knowing him, loving him, and with the saints to serve him, but with us is to possess him as a spouse possesses the other spouse. So Jesus says, you must destroy that which is not of God, substitute it with the divine. In this way, you will have consumed the human thought. It's gone, and now acquired the divine thought. So he's teaching us, what is the divine thought? It's the rounds, the round of creation, praising God and loving God and glorifying God with every I love you that's in creation. And then every I love you that's in redemption. It's every sorrow and sadness that Jesus and Mary went through, the new Adam and the new Eve, so that we can possess this divine life. The rounds are how you substitute the human to the divine. Learning how to pray the rounds is essential. And if you haven't learned it yet, if you go, well, someday I'm going to get to it, you're never going to get to it. You're never going to get to it. You have to begin to learn how to pray the rounds. Praying the rounds is essential. Jesus tells Luis of Volume 16, Divine 36, the rounds are necessary for you. Why? That was the prayer life of Jesus, the prayer life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So he says, you have to consume the human. I mean, it must be gone and acquire the divine. So if the eye wants to look at something that displeases me or does not refer to me, the soul feels mortified. That's television. That's the movies. You know, Jesus says, if your eye sees something that displeases me and it does not refer to me, the beauty of God, the love of God, who our God is, the soul feels mortified. See, this is why God gave us the sacraments and sacramentals. He says, and the soul has consumed, if the soul consumes the human eye, basically, I don't want to see anything that's not divine, acquires the eye of divine life, he says, and so on for the rest of your being. So what we want is to make this jump to the divine. People say, well, you're only human. That's a lie. We're called to live the divine life. We're called to share in divinity. And every day at Holy Mass, the priest reminds us, we are that drop of water put into the chalice filled with wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. I want this life. And when you hear the priest whisper those words, when you read it, you know, what these words say, yes, I want this new and divine way of holiness. I want this divine life. So Jesus says, when the soul does this, oh, how I, God, feel these new divine lives flowing in me, taking part in everything that I, God, do. Those are the words of Jesus. When we say, I want, when the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice, I want this. I begin to feel these new divine lives flowing in me by the souls who are desiring this. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, we stand in the breach for all of humanity, as Jesus did, as Mary did. When we pray, it's not just for my family. When we pray, it's not for me. It's for the glory of God, the salvation of souls. Oh, how God, Jesus says, I feel these new divine lives flowing to me, taking part in everything that I, God, do. Do you remember what Jesus says? You'll do far greater things than I. How can you do this with a divine will? And he's waited 2,000 years to give this to the world. His words were powerful of 2,000 years ago, and now they're more powerful now, because now we see how he wants us to do this. I feel these new divine lives flowing in me. These are my children, Jesus says, who resemble me, Jesus says, taking part in everything that I, God, do. This is what I planned from the beginning. This is why I breathed into the dust, the ruah of God, the breath of God. And what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. This is what the divine will is. But it's not fully here yet. That's gonna happen. And I am sure we're gonna witness this. I really do. Why? Jesus says, when I speak, he says, it's to prove what I'm saying. Okay, so he says, when the book of heaven comes out, when the book of heaven is revealed, it's gonna change the face of the earth. That was 1996. Has everything changed? Has everything changed with this third millennium? I remember going to the airport and we could run right out, almost right to the plane saying goodbye to people. You know, there was no restrictions. There was no restrictions. That's just a glimpse. It's so different now. It's so different. And Jesus is saying, why is everything happening? Because the world is getting ready for the return of Jesus. The world is getting ready for this. This is why there's protests all around the world. Jesus says they know something's up. Humanity knows intuitively almost something is coming that is not, it's going to change the face of the earth. So Jesus says, why is this happening? Because of the book of heaven. As we read the book of heaven, someone else is beginning to live it in the world. And as they begin to read the book of heaven, somebody else begins, Jesus is doing this. So Jesus says, I love these lives so much that I give everything for love of them. Everything that Adam had, everything that Jesus knew Adam, Mary, the new Eve have. They want us to be filled to overflowing. Again, Jesus is saying, can you make that leap? Can you make that jump? To say, I believe in this gift more than anything else. These souls are first before me. And if I, God, bless them, all the others are blessed through them. You see how the whole world is changing. If we're reading the book of heaven, if we're praying the rounds, I'm blessing all of humanity through them. In the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. So he says they are the first to be benefited and loved. They are the first. And through them, others too are benefited and loved. All of humanity is changing. All of humanity is getting ready for the kingdom of God. As we get ready for the kingdom of God, as we get ready to breathe in this ruah of God, this breath of God, this second Pentecost, as we're saying, yes, Lord, let it happen. God goes, good. Others in the world are also saying this as we say it. We're all in this together. And Jesus has planned for us to be the first. It's not the best. It's the first of all of humanity that are going to begin to possess the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Our life is going to, we're going to make this leap of faith to believe in the divine will, to embrace the divine will, to focus on Jesus teaching us how to live this new and divine way of holiness. This is a glorious time to be alive. And he has asked us, he's predestined us to live at this time. Hang on to your hats. It's going to be bumpy, but the kingdom's coming. The mountains are going to be leveled. The valleys are going to be filled. What's coming is going to be really wonderful to watch, wonderful to behold. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray for divine healing And we pray the Queen of Peace may bring peace to the earth in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.